Wisdom from above. Brother Jonathan.
I learned it a long time ago through experience that when you go to a convention, bring two talks. Or you might be writing another one. And my original idea was to talk about prayer. And yesterday, Byron and I were talking. He said, what are you going to talk about? I said, well, I haven't decided yet. And I said, I think I'm going to talk about prayer. And he says, well, I'm talking about prayer. All right? And just before that, Brother Carlton had given a talk on an understanding heart, and he talked a lot about wisdom from above. And I was thinking, okay, well, there goes that talk. But you know what? All that tells me is the Holy Spirit's here, and He works with all of us. And we had talked about how the Holy Spirit works. And I'm certain when we come to a convention and we go through a convention, there's always an underlying theme for us, isn't there? There's the talks tie together, and there's points that are really important to us and have meaning to us. And we walk away from here with lessons that are appropriate for each of us. And so I don't worry about that too much anymore. I could probably give a talk on prayer, and it wouldn't be anything like Brother Byron gave, but and I started off by what I was doing was I was diligently listening to every prayer, and there was going to be like 38 prayers, and I was trying to find some important point in the prayers that I would want to talk about in my discourse on prayer. And It's been an interesting exercise for me, because the things that you hear when you, and I have to admit, I don't always, sometimes when brethren are praying, I'm thinking about things, or I'm praying myself, or what have you, but when you really listen to prayers, there's this really important theme, and all the elements, and Brother Byron called it the model prayer, they're all there, but all the other things are there also, and I've been blessed by that. I want to go back, though, to the first prayer we had, and that was from Brother Frank Nimish. And he made the comment, and he asked a question. And he said in his prayer, at the end of the convention, you will want to ask, has it been good to be here? How many of you remember that? Well, has it been good to be here? It has been, hasn't it? It's been a wonderful blessing. And I've been thinking about that that particular prayer. But my talk's not about prayer. My talk's about wisdom from above. But first of all, I have a great responsibility, and that is to bring to you the love of your brethren in Sacramento. I'm the only one here, so I get to bring all of it. And there's a lot of it. You know, there's 22 of us there. The Langfords, you know, they're getting up in age, and they would have loved to have been here. I've been talking about the convention, and Betty, you know, I just wish we could go. And you know how she is, and how Al are, and all the brethren. I almost went over and, you know, come on, let's go. But their health does not allow it. They're doing well for their age. Al's still leading studies, and he's still leading business meetings, and they're a wonderful blessing, and all the brethren there. And they've all sent their love. They wanted me to read to you 1 Thessalonians . And this is their thought. And this is 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work on faith and your labor of love and your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. And so your loving brethren in Sacramento wanted me to share that with you. You know, Brother Carlton also said, you know, and it's been mentioned up here, it's so nice to stand up here and look at all these smiling faces. And I appreciate that hymn, I stand all astonished with wonder as I gaze upon an ocean of love. And that's what I see right now, an ocean of love. And that gives me goosebumps. It's just, you know, it's like the cup overrunneth thing. It just gives me goosebumps. And I appreciate Brother Byron. I think you did that once before somewhere. You played that hymn, and you know, obviously that had a great impact on you, because I know you've done that in other places that we've been. And I appreciate the fact that you share that, and we sang that hymn. You know, I was mentioning up here that it's important to ask questions. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to ask a lot of questions. Now, I don't necessarily expect you to answer them, and I won't call on you. I'm going to call on one brother. And because I know he has the answer, and I will swear that I did not prompt him, and I did not give him the answer. I'm going to ask him the question, and I know he will answer it correctly, I hope. No, I'm certain. I'm certain his brother will answer this question correctly. Because I've already asked him the question. He answered it correctly the first time, so. Unless I stutter. But I think it's important to ask questions. And I'm going to ask a lot of questions, and if you want to be involved, you may. But my question is, what in the, and I'm a New Testament student. I'm not a historical student. I don't spend as much time probably in the Old Testament as I should. But the New Testament means so much to me. And our class have been studying for the last 15 years all the epistles in the New Testament. And I want to ask this question. In the New Testament, what is one of the most important themes that's continually talked about in the New Testament? Who wants to answer that question? Brother Andy. The most important theme in the New Testament that's covered is emphatically. It's there. Character development. Correct. All right, correct. We talked about that, and we talked about that early in the convention about character development. And there's a book out on character development. Get an A. All right. You know, in the New Testament, and I'm sure you have other areas in the New Testament, but I found 9 different epistles with 4 different authors, Paul, Peter, James, and John, that address Christian character development. And so I think it's important. All right. It's important today. You know, Brother Dave talked about water, you know. This is, you know, he talked about a filter, and I believe that this right here is one of our primary filters. This is a huge filter for us. When we sit down and we try to unclog our heart, you know, from the cares of the world and filter out the things that we need, and this helps us. But there are 9 different letters, and it's Romans, Galatians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 1 Peter, James, and John. All right? And I'm a list person. I like lists. And brethren, you know what a honey-do list is, right? Honey-do this, honey-do that. Lists are important in life. And all joking aside, I believe that in the Bible, in the New Testament, there are a lot of filters that tell us very precisely what to do and what not to do. And I'd like to get to some of those today, if time permitting. But I want to turn to our scripture, and it's in James. It's in the 3rd chapter. Now, you know, God's economical, you know, and I'm always fascinated by his economics. And you know, when you talk about wisdom from above, I mean, I could probably say, okay, in a conversation, what does wisdom from above mean to you? Christ is the wisdom of God, isn't he? It says in, what, Corinthians? Christ is the wisdom of God. So we can say, okay, well, wisdom from above, it's our Lord, it's Christ. But I believe it's more than that. I believe that there's always can be multiple meanings on important lessons in the Bible. And I believe that this particular scripture in James, I want to apply it to the truth. And I do pray that my thoughts are a blessing to you today, and that if I say anything amiss, to forgive me. But this is in James 3, verse 17. It says, "But the wisdom from above is first pure." Okay, then it's peaceable, then it's gentle, it's easy to be entreated, it's full of mercy, and full of good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by them that make peace. All right. So, the what we're getting here is a lesson about the wisdom from above that will enable us to be peacemakers. And I believe that that's here and now, and it's in the future. So what we'll do is we'll spend a little bit of time looking at these 8 words: pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to entreat, full of mercy, full of good fruit, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. Pure, and pure comes from the Greek word 53. It means clean, innocent, blameless, chaste, holy, and clean. So, can wisdom be God's truth? Can I say that, you know, we know that Jesus is the wisdom of God, but can I say wisdom is, we can say the truth is God's wisdom? I think we can, because we know it's, as Dave again brought out, it's clean, it's pure, it's truth. You know, this word, I'd like to look at Hebrews 11. We'll turn there for a second. 11:1. I like word studies, if you don't know that. I'm sure most of you know that. I like word studies and the meanings of it. This is Hebrews 11:1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. Okay, so I know probably many of you have had really long discussions about what that means, but faith is the faith, and Burton Brown used to say that little epi, the faith, it's emphatic. And that word faith is from the word, it's 4102, which means pistis, which means the system of religious truth itself. So the faith is the religious system or our religious beliefs in what we read written from the Holy Word of God. The system of religious truth itself. It's God's truth, His wisdom, it's chaste, it's holy, and it's pure. You know, we have to understand many aspects of God's truth to have it work for us. In other words, when we're you know, spirit begotten and we're studying, and we have to understand a lot of different aspects of God's truth to really make it all come together for us and line up. And, you know, Brother Bob gave the discourse last night on the gospel. It all has to, it needs to make sense for us. And the filters and the things that enable us to do that is the Holy Spirit. They affect us in ways that make us footstep followers of Christ. They make us like Him. They move us in the direction to be like Him. Let's look at some words directly from our Lord. And this is in Matthew, the 5th chapter. Someday I'm going to start writing my notes in my talk. Matthew 5, verse 1. These are the words of our Lord. And seeing the multitudes, He went up into the mountain, and when He was seated, His disciples came unto Him, and He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, drink that water, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. All right. So to be pure in heart, we have to take that wisdom, which is first pure. And we're blessed by that. And it goes on to talk about, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Right? And there's some other things in there that are important, but we won't take the time to look at them. Now let's look at Matthew. I'm sorry. 1 Timothy 1. Now we're going to bounce around. We're going to look at a lot of scriptures because I'd rather read it from God's word than from my own or my own idea about it. 1 Timothy 1, verse 5. And I like this because it ties an important aspect of God's plans and His character to this purity. It says, and this is again 1 Peter 1, 5. Now the end of the commandment is love. Out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of a faith unfeigned. So, you know, it tells you what this purity, in other words, this wisdom, when it's pure, what it's accomplished. It's a pure love. It's a good conscience and faith unfeigned, or belief that's not fake. We know it. We believe it. All right? It puts us in a frame of mind. It goes back to Brother Carton. It gives us the heart of understanding. It gives us a heart of understanding, a pure heart. Let's turn now to 1 Peter 1:22. And it says, seeing that ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth, the faith, the truth, the holy gospel, religious beliefs, to the Spirit unto an unfeigned love. In other words, a clear understanding of this pure truth leads to an unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. You know, and so why am I focusing on this first aspect of wisdom? First has to be pure, right? I think that from my perspective looking at it, we have to understand that the truth, and understanding the truth enables us to understand what having a pure heart means and how we act with our brethren, how we interact with our brethren and we interact in the world. It enables us to be Christ-like. Pure. It first has to be pure. After it's pure, what does it become? Becomes peaceable. In other words, the purity of the truth and the purity of developing our hearts makes us peacemakers. We become peaceable. And peaceable is from, it's a 15-16 quietness. Being quiet, being restful. You know, I was talking again to Brother Brian, and we were talking about prayer, and I asked him, I said, maybe I asked him a question. I know I thought about it. When are you at the most comfort when you're having some kind of interaction with the Heavenly Father? When are we the most comfortable? When do we feel the closest? I believe it's when we're praying. We have this, and somebody mentioned it maybe earlier, this peace comes over you. It removes these burdens. I know if I've offended somebody or I'm offended and I go pray, you know, I fall asleep. You know, I do that so often at night, I fall asleep because you feel it. You know, it was mentioned earlier, have you felt the prayers? You feel your own prayers. And you're in a relationship with the Heavenly Father, He gives you this peace. Purity brings peacefulness through understanding of His truth. It means to be peaceful, quiet, at rest. Was our Lord, question, remember we're supposed to ask questions, was our Lord a peacemaker? Certainly He was. Are you a peacemaker? I'm sometimes I'm a troublemaker. I have to agree. That was not a yes. That was not a no. That was a yes. No. All right. We'll talk about that later. No, I'm just kidding. Romans 12:18. You know, I don't have any glasses. My contact tore. My only contact. I was in my last contact and it tore. And so I'm fine. I can read. I just can't see. 12:18. Oh, here it is. This is good. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, if possible, you know, if you can do it, live peaceably with all men. That's hard, isn't it? On a freeway? It's tough, you know. And I'll make a comment about all these lists a little bit later that is always fascinating to me because you get Paul and Peter and John and James writing all these things, you know, do this, don't do this. Why do they do that? Don't do this, but do this. Why do they put all that stuff in there? Because we do it. Or we don't do it. You know, we make mistakes. Peacemakers, being peacemakers. Okay, gentle. It's from 1933. Appropriate minded. That's interesting. Mild, moderate, and patient. Meek, modest, kind. I'm not gentle sometimes. You know, I don't know. I'm kind of impatient sometimes, and we know, want it now. To be a gentle one must be gentle. What do you have to be? Humble. One must think of others and not self. I mean, I heard it from the platform years ago. Might have been David Bruce. If you're thinking of others, you can't be thinking of yourself. We've heard that, huh? If you're thinking of others, you can't be thinking of yourself. You know, and who's the kindest person you are? Who are you the kindest to? Yourself. You know, you never, oh, gee, Jonathan, man, you screwed up, man. You know, you're kind to yourself. You forgive yourself. Was our Lord gentle? Question, was our Lord gentle? Are you gentle? Are you meek, humble, and kind? And I have a note here. I have to admit to you, I'm not always. All right. Romans, the 12th, it's Romans 12 again, 12th chapter, and this is verse 8. I thought I read that already. Romans 12:18. Did I read that?
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's move on. Oh, here we are. My page flipped over. Romans 12:10. Be kindly affectionate. You know, and it's funny because all these things, it talks about all these things, you know, being peaceable and kind and gentle, they all refer back to our brethren. Why? Why are, you know, Peter, John, James, and Paul telling us, you know, be kind to your brethren? They're saying, stop being unkind. I'm not pointing the finger. I'm just saying that these lessons are there because, you know, I admit it. I'll take full responsibility. I'm that way. I have these weaknesses. Like Betty says, thank you, Lord, for one more day. 12:10. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. That's hard sometimes, huh? Some brother, sister offends you. I had a sister offending me and I blackballed her. I'm not going to talk to her. 2 years I did that. Wasn't that stupid? It took me 2 years to figure it out. So what I did is, I'm sorry, forgive me. It fixed it immediately. You know, it was a good lesson. Romans 12:16. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Don't think more highly of yourself than you should. Again, you know, esteem your brethren more than you would yourself. 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love, and you know, this is our, when I read this, I think of our Heavenly Father. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not, love vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up. You know, our Lord is long, our Heavenly Father is long suffering, isn't He? Question, are you long suffering? Am I? Not always. You know, the Scripture says that it was while we were yet sinners that our Lord saved us, or, you know, made these provisions available for us. We're sinners. And our Heavenly Father, He didn't say, well, you know, I'm not going to do that. I think there's a reason for that. I think that He uses our old nature, and again, we were talking about this earlier. I think the longer we're in the walk, the more we believe or we realize, I'm not who I thought I was. I'm not who you think I am. I'm a fallen nature. I'm a fallen creature. You know, I'm not happy with myself. That's difficult. And then you got to repent. Repentance and repented. I'm not sure that's quite right order, but that's an incredible thing when you think about it, that we have the ability to make those changes and do that. And it's hard. You know, it goes back to the prayer. The effectual fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much, and that's why we pray for each other. That's why we gather together. That's why we come here. Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another. A lot of work, a lot of talk about kindness. Huh? Be kind. Be ye kind one to another. Tender hearted. Forgiving one another. Why? Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's huge. Not asking too much, you know. Our Christian walk in the time frame of life is like that. It's over. And we have this ability to be involved in the entire perfection of the world of mankind, restoring the world of mankind to all those things that were lost. It's a puff of vapor. Colossians 3:12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, okay, means you know your spirit begotten, you know the elect of God. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, what? Tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Even to the point of forgiving your enemies. Sometimes we don't know who our enemies are. 2 Peter 1:7. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and okay, it's talking about adding things. Add to kindness, or to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, and have that tempered with love. Be kind and be loving. And then, verse 8, I read that. So that's what gentleness is. Easily entreated. That's from Strong's 2138. It means not stubborn. Nah, you're not going to change the way I think. But yielding to others. Now, that doesn't mean forsaking the truth. You know, but it means not being bullheaded. dogmatic, emphatic. Have you ever been browbeaten by a brother? Have you ever browbeaten a brother? Someone you thought, you felt maybe was a little zealous about what they were telling you? Have I ever browbeat a brother? Yeah, I have. You know, sometimes we get so zealous we forget, you know. It's easy to do. But that leads us to the next one. Don't be so dogmatic, but you need to be. And it's interesting because it uses the for mercy. It says, oh, just a little mercy. Some mercy. What does it say? Full of mercy. And so full, is this cup full of water? No. Is it impure? Yes. But full means there's no, you can't put any more in there. You're capped out. All right? What does full mean? Is God full of mercy? Question, is God full of mercy? Yes, He is. Are you full of mercy? No, I'm sorry, I'm not. I can't answer for you. You know, let's turn to Romans 5:8. But God commandeth His love toward us in that while... Oh, that's the one I was quoting. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Is that mercy? God gave up His only begotten Son. It came out last night. John 3:16. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And John 3:17. And what'd that say? Oh, He came not to condemn the world, but to save the world. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. God was so merciful that He gave His only begotten Son on behalf of the world of mankind. Could you give your child for that? That'd be hard, wouldn't it? Matthew 5:7. Now we're going to get into some stuff here that I really like. I like all of it, but powerful things that are huge for us. Matthew 5, and some of this has been brought out already. Matthew 5:7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. What does that say? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So what does that tell you? You need to do. You need to be merciful. And it goes on to talk about the pure part. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That's interesting, isn't it? Pure. First, the wisdom from God is pure, and it's peaceable and gentle and kind and all that stuff. But if you have a pure heart, you'll see God. All right? Isn't it funny how God's economy works? Matthew 6:14. I have the word, this is huge, written by this scripture. It's huge for me because of what it means to me. It says, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your Father, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. He'll forgive. If you forgive these trespasses, He'll forgive you these trespasses. But these, maybe not. Maybe this over here. Is there conditions? Are there conditions in that statement? It says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. Now, you think that's talking about your Adamic sin, that you were forgiven, being covered by that imputed ransom sacrifice? You think that is applied to that? But it goes on to say, but if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You know why that's huge for me? Because I have a lot of I need my trespasses forgiven. So every time I can find an opportunity to forgive somebody, I'll do it. And I don't make that a joke. It's hard sometimes. But forgiving kind of removes, you know. And sometimes you have to forgive even though you might think you're still right and have the right frame of mind to do that. It's not easy. And then Luke, the Luke account of that, I want to look at that too. That's in 6:34. Through 37. I have a little note here that this is referring to brethren and forgiveness. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what things have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the sons of the highest, for he is kind unto the thankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. So, to me, that's huge. Full of fruit. We know what fruit is, all right? It's our character. It's actually when you're developing character, it's these characteristics of love and kindness and meekness and gentleness and compassion and unfeigned love. I always say this, and I always will. David Bruce says, I'm a fruit inspector. I look for fruit amongst my brethren, and I like that. I do. Oh, hey, you haven't developed any fruit. I'm not doing that. I'm looking for, you know, and I see it. It's incredible, the fruit. When you go to conventions, it's awesome to see. And I, you know, we're the truth is moving toward the kingdom, and I believe that there's things going on in the truth that are making brethren think about these things, thinking about what it means to have these characteristics, wisdom from above, the pureness, the gentleness, the kindness, the love, those kinds of things. John 15, verse 1 through 5. I am the vine. We're all familiar with this. This is talking about the vine, our Lord, the vine and the branches. I am the vine, the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, prunes it. Why? So it can bring more fruit. Experiences, trials. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you, pure truth. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. All right, so it's depending on the Lord, our Heavenly Father. Fruit inspectors, without partiality. All right, we'll move on to that. No respecter of persons. Oh, I'm going to sit over here because I like that brother. I'm not going to sit over here because I don't like that brother. Now, have I done that? I wouldn't admit that. The Heavenly Father knows. That's between me and the Heavenly Father. But it's there. Those things are there. And why are they there? Why are they addressed by John, Paul, James, and Peter? Because we do them. All right? 1 Corinthians 12:22. Oh, this is I like this because the 1 Corinthians 12 is all about the body of Christ. And it's 12 verses. It says, try verse 22. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are what? Are necessary. They're more necessary. Think about why they might be, you know, we see that. We see brethren that are, you know, failing and feeble and having difficulty, but they're here. You ever think about, you know, I mean, I don't think it's wrong to think, well, you know, they're here. The Lord has a reason for them being here. Bob Goodman in Chapman, I think he says, well, you know, it's sure good that I'm not making the choice of who's here. I'm kind of paraphrasing what I'm said. It's good God made that choice, because if I made that choice, none of you would be here. And I think that's how he said it. All right. Verse 22. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, It's in there because we do. Upon these we should bestow more abundant honor and more, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. There should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And when one member suffers, all should suffer. When one member is honored, all members rejoice. Now ye are members of the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church. And explains, you know, He's the one that's putting us here. It's God's will. No respecter of persons. Without hypocrisy, you know, that's having an open heart, being honest, genuine and true. Taking that pure wisdom from above and using it, being doers of the word and not just hearers of the word. I want to take some time now to read these lists. And it should take about 5 minutes. I think I have about that much time. The first one is in Romans, and it's the 12th chapter of Romans. And look, as I read them, I'm just going to read them one after another, and look for the do's and the don'ts, you know. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members of one to another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith or ministry. He that exhorteth, let him exhort. He that giveth, let him do it liberally. He that ruleth with diligence, and he that shows mercy, show it with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Cling to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, perfecting one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing diligently in prayer. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections of love. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Philippians 2:1-8. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any tender mercies and compassions, fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done in strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in the mind of Christ. Colossians 3:1-17. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the sons of disobedience, in which ye also once walked when ye lived in them. But now ye are put off all these. Put these off. Anger, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication, and out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man with the renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. For put on therefore of the elect of God holy and beloved tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering, forbearing one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave, you also ye forgive him. And above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. 1 Thessalonians 4, starting verse 5. Ye are the sons of light, and the sons of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do. Let us watch and be sober-minded, for they that sleep in the night, and they that are drunk in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them that who labor among you, and are among you, and over you, and admonish you, to esteem them highly. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 11. Blessed be the God, our Father, of our Lord Christ Jesus, who, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a living hope, by the resurrection of the Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, and is reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the powers of God through faith and salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. In this ye greatly rejoice, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy and unspeakable full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. 1 Peter 4, verse 8. And above all things, have fervent love among yourselves. And I like this too, because I think this is a key to our success in our Christian walk. And this again, 1 Peter 4:8, and above all things, have fervent love among yourselves, for love shall cover the multitude of sins. You know, that's a direct reference to Romans 3:23, where it says our Lord was a propitiation for our sins. Our Heavenly Father's love gave His Son as a sacrifice. He gave His life and was a propitiation for our sins and for the sins of the whole world. In closing, let's turn to 1 John 3. Verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and He knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing to His sight. We take that pure wisdom from above, and we apply all those fruitages in our Christian walk. And this is a commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Christ Jesus, and love one another as He gave us commandment. And he that keepeth His commandment dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And by this we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit whom He hath given us. And may the Lord add His blessing.
Thank you very much, Brother Jonathan, giving us an overview of wisdom from above. I know it's time for lunch, so Brother Jonathan has asked that we close with hymn 107. Let's stand, please. And the first verse only says, I have entered the valley of blessings so sweet, and Jesus abides with me there, and His Spirit and blood make my cleansing complete, and His perfect love casteth out fear. There's joy in the valley of blessings so sweet, Here Jesus, his fullness bestows. We believe and receive and confess him, our refuge from all earthly woes. And I'm going to let you sing the rest of that in your hearts during our break. And at this time, we're going to ask Brother Jonathan to dismiss us and ask a blessing on our temporal food. And we'll return here for a discourse by Brother Bob Johnson at 1:30. Brother Jonathan.
Let us pray. Our kind, loving, and most gracious Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy most holy name. We truly come to thy throne of grace with special thanks in each of our hearts. We're so thankful that you've let us be here today with our brethren. We're so thankful for the fellowship and the love and the gentleness and the kindness we feel. We're so thankful for the gift of your Son and your compassion and your long-suffering for us, for the world of mankind. We're thankful for all these things. We're thankful for your wisdom from above. We're thankful for the opportunity we have to understand these things. We're thankful for the gift of your Son and the opportunity you've given us to participate in those plans. We pray now that you would be with us the remainder of this day, our lunch, our fellowship. Bless this food that it may give us strength. We pray that you would be with the other brethren serving, that you would bless their hearts and their minds, that the thoughts that they bring to us would be uplifting. We would be remiss if we wouldn't ask a blessing for those brethren that would like to have been here but could not be, and all those brethren throughout the world that endeavor to serve thy plans and purposes, those that may be going through difficult trials, temptations, and illnesses. We are very thankful for our opportunity to be here, the privileges, and we thank you for these things and give thanks and praise in our dear Redeemer's name, Christ Jesus. Amen.